Welcome to White Paper World, the podcast that helps B2B writers and marketers get better results from your white papers. Issue 46, August 22nd, 2024. Quick tip, how to write better lists. Every white paper includes a list or two. No wonder, they have so many benefits. Lists help us compare and contrast items. Lists gather together a lot of data. Lists can be scanned at a glance. Designers have known for decades that lists are a good way to chunk information into shorter pieces. Those short chunks build comprehension and boost recall. So lists are a vital element in any B2B content. But are you making your lists as effective as possible? Here are four tips to help you take charge of your lists. Tip one, reorder your draft list. If you're like most writers making a list, you just jot down items as they pop into your mind. So the results often look unplanned and unfinished. Instead of communicating at a glance, your list can make a reader pause to wonder what you're trying to get at. For example, here's a first draft list. Our software runs on all popular operating systems, Mac OS, Linux, Windows, Chrome OS. What does this order mean? Was the product created first for Mac and only recently ported to Windows? If you use Windows, does this list give you any confidence? Here's how I would rearrange this list. Our software runs on all popular operating systems, Windows, Mac OS, Linux, Chrome OS. This second draft is organized by installed base, with the most popular operating system at the top and the least popular at the bottom. How sensible. The point is, always reconsider your first draft to see if you can make your list more clear. Tip two, default to alphabetical order. If you have a jumbled list that you can't figure out how to organize, use alphabetical order. You can't go wrong by putting your items in order from A to Z. This is how I usually start arranging any list of items. I recommend you do that as well. Make alphabetical your default arrangement. Then no one will waste any time wondering if there's some secret message buried in your list. Tip three, choose the order that fits the material best. Sometimes A to Z isn't the best way to organize your list. There are lots of other methods that you can choose from. For instance, categorical, by types or groups, chronological, from first to last, old to new, frequency, from common to rare, geographical, from near to far or far to near, hierarchical, top down or bottom up, importance, most to least important, numerical, big to small, small to big, priority or risk, high to low, low to high, process, first step to the last step, value or cost, high to low or low to high. And you can see that every time you do some online shopping and you have a chance to reorder the list of items according to their price. Tip four, tell readers your method. Don't make your readers guess how your list is arranged. Tell them explicitly how you set it out. This only takes a short phrase. For example, listen to the three or four words I'm going to emphasize. That's all you need. Here are the top 10 questions our support team gets in order of frequency. Or, our significant donors for the year in alphabetical order include. Here's another one. From start to finish, there are four main steps in this process. And a final example, the top 10 companies in our niche by last year's revenues are. See how brief that can be to spell it out, yet it can save your readers a world of guesswork. So those are my four tips on making better lists. Reorder your draft list, default to alphabetical order, or choose an order that fits your material better, and tell your readers which method you used. By applying these tips, you can transform your lists from chaotic jumbles into powerful structures that enhance your B2B content. And in the show notes, there's a link to a PDF of all these different ways to organize lists You can keep that by your desk as a reference. You asked, do white papers work in B2C? Can white papers be effective in business-to-consumer marketing? Well, you know what I think? Consumers don't want to read. They just want to shop. And to be less glib, here's a way to visualize different buying decisions as a five-step pyramid. You can see that on the page where you got this podcast. From the bottom up, these include impulse buys like candy or gum, routine shopping like groceries or gas, small B2B purchases like office supplies, considered purchases like a car, a boat, or a house, and then major B2B buys like software or equipment. So again, those are five different levels of buying decisions, and the higher up the pyramid you go, the more time, money, and people are involved, and the more likely a white paper will be useful. So on the lower levels, for most consumer purchases, no white paper is needed. That's my answer in a nutshell. If you want some more background, here are some further notes. Impulse buys. This covers things like candy, gum, magazines. People just grab those as they pass through the checkout. Maybe we saw an ad, maybe we're a little hungry. We make those decisions in a split second with no need to read or even think. Routine shopping. So this covers things like groceries, gasoline. Nobody reads much before buying a loaf of bread. At the most, some people read nutrition labels. And maybe before spending a few $100 on some gear, some people read reviews and consumer reports or Wirecutter. But more likely we ask our friends or we watch some videos. We tend to seek out reviews and testimonials more than company-produced materials like white papers. So, bottom line, white papers aren't effective for consumer products. The products just don't cost enough to justify the investment, and most people don't want to read before they buy anyway. Small B2B purchases. So this covers things like office supplies, tools, even PCs. If you're just buying another box of paper clips for your office, you don't have to do a lot of research. Small B2B purchases are more like routine consumer shopping. Companies buy the same office supplies they always buy from the same place they always shop, probably Amazon or Staples, and no white paper ever comes into it. So here's a hint. Remember the three questions to tell if a product needs a white paper? Is it new? Is it complicated? Is it expensive? Office supplies get a no to all three, so they don't typically justify any white paper. Now, considered purchases. These include the most costly purchases someone might make as a consumer, a car, a boat, or a house. Or a critical decision like arranging for a medical procedure or picking a home for an elderly parent. For a considered purchase, some people read, but we don't often read anything resembling a white paper. Instead, we take the car or the boat out for a spin. For a house, we talk to the real estate agent and the neighbors. For medical problems, we talk to our doctors. Maybe we read stories from survivors or books from the growing ranks of celebrity doctors. To evaluate nursing homes, we check out brochures and make a few visits. So in all these considered purchases, I don't believe most of us see anything that resembles a white paper. Now, your doctor may slide an article across their desk and advise you to read it. I'm going to talk about that a little later. But that's rare, right? And now we get to major B2B purchases. These cover things like software, tech, material, equipment, services, anything big that a business needs. And by big, I mean anything with a price tag of $100,000 and up. These are complex sales that involve many people and stretch on for weeks. The complete opposite of an impulse buy. Around the table making that decision, you find C-level executives, and they're doing serious research, number crunching, arguing. Any salesperson would love to get into that room to to present to such high-powered people, but they can't. So a white paper is a vendor's way to get into that room to present the very best research and the most persuasive argument wrapped in the most compelling language. For any writer who wants to do white papers, B2B is where the action is. But wait, you may say, what about influencing attitudes, shaping legislation? Aren't white papers used for those? Right, and we could call those policy papers. So, a writer might specialize in something like water treatment and get asked to write a policy paper for a government department or an environmental group. Occasionally, one of those reports might be aimed at consumers. But the bulk of that writer's work is going to be for companies that make products or services that cities or companies can buy. In my experience, at least 80% of all white papers are for big-ticket B2B products. The rest are split between governments, nonprofits, think tanks, people trying to influence policymakers and decision-makers. Very, very few white papers are aimed at consumers. But a few are. Keep listening for one fine example. White paper sample, an excellent B2C guide. In 2019, Florida Eye Specialists asked for a two-page guide on everything you need to know about cataracts. Content writer Helen McCrone soon realized that a comprehensive guide would take more than 2 pages, and the client agreed. I imagined a cataract specialist talking to an older patient who's just been told they have cataracts, says Helen. She suggested a professional, conversational, and reassuring tone that was super important for this topic, she says. The resulting piece, which you can find a link to on the page where you got this podcast, is like an FAQ with 14 questions on everything from what is a cataract to how long does it take to recover from cataract surgery. It's chock full of useful information without a lot of medical mumble jumble. You have to use words that the audience understands, says Helen. You can't avoid some terminology, but you do have to phrase it in a way that they understand. And you know, this piece ticks all my boxes for a white paper. Compelling title? Check. Photo of the intended reader on the cover? Check. Front matter, namely a table of contents and an introduction? Check. Useful and informative main body? Check. Infographics and charts? Check. Clear call to action, also known as what's your next step? Check. About the company? Check. A tasteful amount of branding? Check. No selling? Check. I find this piece excellent in every way, but this is aimed at regular folks, not executives, so Helen was smart to call it a guide and not a white paper. The takeaway message? Don't get hung up on labels. Focus on delivering the goods, whatever you call them. This little gem proves that white papers can work their magic in the B2C world too. Who knew eye surgery could be such a page turner? Meet the author. The author of that B2C white paper I was just talking about, Helen McCrone, has a fascinating story of her own. She's originally from the historic UK town of Hastings. Yes, the Battle of Hastings, 1066 and all that. But she never dreamed of being a writer. She didn't even go to university. Instead, she trained as an accountant and worked in business for many years. During that time, she was a number cruncher, providing financial reports and advice to executives in all different departments. But in her early 30s, she decided to shake things up. I moved to Holland on my own, Helen says. I got a good job and moved, even though I didn't know the language at all. Working as a financial controller in the Netherlands, she gradually picked up the language. And then she made another big change. She ditched accounting and retooled as a business English teacher, Dutch to English translator, and copywriter. Her background helped her land gigs for banks, financial regulators, and government tax departments. Then love came knocking on her door. She met her future husband, an American, and moved with him to the U.S. more than a decade ago. Today, Helen is living the writer's life in Florida, where she turns out B2B content for clients in subject areas like manufacturing and logistics. I do very little B2C work. It's nearly all B2B, she says. And Helen's past helps her today. For example, she can talk readily with any B2B executive. I worked with production managers, R&D managers, sales managers, the whole gamut, she says. And that experience has been useful in my current job. Because she's met so many executives, she's never intimidated by someone with a C in their job title. Even her personal experiences have been helpful. Her husband sadly lost his sight 2 years ago, so Helen has dealt with many eye doctors. Her husband even had cataract surgery and then later corneal replacements. So when the cataract project came along, she was already acquainted with that world. Congratulations on a fine piece of work, Helen, and many more to come. That's all for this issue. You can get all the previous issues of White Paper World from that whitepaperguy.com/newsletters. And to get every future issue, visit that whitepaperguy.com/subscribe. Until next time, good luck on all your projects from That White Paper Guy, Gordon Graham.